Reggae icon Peter Tosh with Feel No Way. Excuse me, my voice has a little kink in it. I'm hoping it will go away. The tune is from Tosh's 2009 album, Tosh's Mama Africa. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. It is one heck of a day today. I saw a headline. It was actually very funny. As you know, we have this inquiry going on, and the star of today's inquiry, who was operating until recently, he still might be, we're not sure, he isn't sure, as the U.S. ambassador to the European Union, but according to the headline, he threw Donald Trump not just under the bus, but under a caravan of buses. So it's been a pretty nasty day for Donald Trump, and we'll touch on that in a minute. But the first thing I want to talk about is what is happening. Or what are your feelings about what is happening? We have the Democratic Party having their debate tonight at 9 o'clock. Ordinarily, I would say I'm all petered out with the debates, the show and tells, or the, as I call them, this different way they have of debating when they're really not debating. It's a Q&A. So there's another Q&A, and it's the last Q&A, I think, for this year, as it ought to be. And things keep shifting. We have no idea where people are going, who is going to be left, who is leaving the campaign, who is joining the campaign. We'll be learning from some candidates, most notably Duval Patrick, and we have another new candidate joining the fray. We don't know what's going on. I was referring to the former mayor of the city of New York, who is swimming in money and who lately declared his candidacy, Michael Bloomberg. So for that, maybe I'll be inclined to watch it. But I'm so done with this. I should be saying these things out loud to influence people's thinking, but I'm done with it in a way, because I can't see the sense of people carrying on this phantasmic idea that they are running, still running. Nothing suggests that you're running. If anything, you should be running away. But they're still running, annoying people. My thing is, you're brave enough to run, that requires immense courage, and you are to be admired for putting your hat in the ring. That's great. That time has gone. By now, you should know whether you're sticking it all the way through, you're sticking to it, or whether you want to fold up your tent and, with some measure of dignity left, you leave the fray. You leave it, so that you can go on to other things without losing credibility. You can hold on to the cash that was raised for your campaign. You can give a plausible explanation that people could understand. And you still have the option of doing something else to which you might better be suited at this time. This is not to say you're not suited to be president. It means that your campaign, for all intents and purposes, has died. You can't go anywhere. You've gone as far as you can go. And it makes no sense to me, and I don't understand why people continue when everything is pointing to the fact that, you know, you're dead in the water. You know, do the best thing. Put your best face forward. All the things that you said you were when you entered the campaign. And you see it's going downward. And after downward is out. A very hard out, you know. You don't want that. You want to be in charge of how you go out. You want to do the best you can to save face, if that's the expression that is appropriate at that time when you have to make that decision. I don't find anything disgraceful about having to drop out of a race. I find it disgraceful when everything is pointing to the inevitable and you're still there as if you get extra points for making an idiot of yourself by defying or wanting to defy what all the facts and figures are saying. They're saying, please leave the race, and with some grace and with the possibility of retooling, and you could come back again in the next cycle, in the next race. That seems to me far better than being beaten into the ground and there you are dragging your entrails through the sand. You've been beaten so badly that people would remember your defeat more than they would remember the excellent presentation you made, the excellent try that you made. It was very noble. It just didn't win. For all kinds of reasons, people lose. But it is really bad to lose when your brains have been beaten to a pulp. You have no hope at anything else. You've lost entirely. I would hope never to be in such a position. All right, so what are we talking about today? Oddly enough, we're talking about a particular kind of candidate who hasn't been talked much about. Some discussions have gone on about it. But the fact is that several presidential candidates already are or will be well into their 70s if elected to office. In fact, even before they're elected to office. The incumbent, Donald J. Trump, at 73, tops the list of presidential candidates whose mental and physical health has become a matter of national concern. His sudden, unscheduled, quote, partial, unquote, medical visit to Walter Reed National Military Medical Center in Bethesda, Maryland, stoked national concern about his health status. But the concern is not just about Trump's health. People openly are discussing whether older people are worth discussing or worth considering as safe bets to vote for as they vie for the nation's highest office. So, should there be some kind of age restriction or medical restriction for holding the nation's highest office? Is that ageism, or is that very undemocratic, pardon the pun, to regard a candidate's age as a possible hindrance to holding office rather than as a benefit to the nation, having presumably by then garnered so much experience and expertise? It's a hard question, because we don't want to think about saying no to an older person. But at the same time, in this current race, we've seen how some people might have been affected by age, their age. They're not as alert. They're not as energetic. And in the case of Donald Trump, they're not even coherent in some cases. And yet this is the nation's most important position. So how do we deal with this and encourage people of that profile, older, wiser, smarter? How do we encourage those people not to shy away and to become fearful of scrutiny and the natural supposition that age equals diminished capability? But then again, we can't ignore it. It is a factor. Age can very seriously impair a person's judgment. Well, people can lose a lot of what they used to have the older they become. So, do you think this is a legitimate question for consideration, for public discussion and debate? Do you think that Americans as a whole make a lot about age? They make a lot about it, as to almost be terrified of growing older. And yet on the flip side of that coin, you do have evidence that there could be, for many, a deterioration of their skills, their ability to think and reason, even just their speed, the speed at which they make critical decisions. And that person being, or will be, the commander-in-chief, which adds another dimension to the concern about age. All right, so I ask the jury, what do you think? Is this a problem you see as being serious enough for public discussion and debate? Or is it just another expression of Americans' fear about everything, especially growing old? You know, there have been major beauty campaigns and all kinds of longevity campaigns because we are afraid of growing old in this country. We're terrified of what will happen to us and what we could cause to happen. And this is a particularly sensitive subject because the president has the position of, you know, he's in charge of declaring war. She is in charge of declaring war. Commander-in-chief. We have been wondering, we have even been discussing it here. The visible signs that Donald Trump has, not is, but has deteriorated and been deteriorating since taking office. Yet, he is commander-in-chief. And now we're hearing, coming out of the cracks of the walls, that military people, high office military people, are concerned about the capacity of Donald Trump to retain that office and that position. For all we know, there has been a secret group of people who have been organized to head off any visible sign of the president's rapid deterioration, and they will take over as a group. They will take over as the chief policymaker, acting in the capacity of commander in chief. But it would be a group effort. They just are not telling anybody. All right, I've laid out enough for you to think about just in that little snippet. But it's a very legitimate question. I doubt the question will arise tonight as the Democrats debate. Lord help us. One more time. And is this, is the country taking this matter very seriously? I mean, it sounds almost like a joke. It's almost like an afterthought. But most developed countries, most serious countries, have considered this question. There are countries that have rules about how old you should not be, how your mental acuity will be measured before you even take that seat as, you know, the head of the country. There are all kinds of procedures to ensure that your brain is okay, that you're functioning in the real world, in real time. And when they see departures, as we have seen with Trump in this last year alone, it's very scary that the nation continues to be pretty casual about it. They even laugh it off as being very funny. But what say you at 888-874-4888? I'd love to know what you're thinking. And this is the time to speak your mind, because we really have to deal with this. This is a major issue for the nation and, by extension, almost for the whole world. Because, as you know, the United States plays a pivotal role in shaping policies and decisions of many, many other nations. And yet we know, especially with this particular president, Donald Trump, we know there's something wrong. We know it. We've seen it. We've heard it. We know he's not operating with all oars in the water. So it shouldn't be embarrassing, since it has been displayed for everybody to see and hear. It should not be an embarrassment to ask, at what risk does the country operate when its head of state clearly is not in good mental shape? Jay, you are starting us off today.
Yes, good afternoon, Utrice. I hope all is well and that you are doing well. This is a very, very serious matter, especially when you're talking about the person that's supposed to be the leader of the free world. If we look back in history, there has been talk, and I don't know if it's totally been proven, that Ronald Reagan, at the end of his second term presidency, was suffering from Alzheimer's and dementia.
Yes.
I don't know if that's true or not. You know what I mean? I never did the total research on it. And looking back at that period of time, you know, it may have been, it may not have been. But the reality is, in this present day and time, there are some issues, I think, in regards to mental competency of the president that's in office right now, 45, Trump. He shows it over a continuous period of time of his inadequate and irrational behavior in regards to dealing with most subject matters, and also in the way that he presents himself in regards to arguments, counter-arguments, and all sorts of other type of scenarios that are put forward in regards to him. Now, should the country be in a position to demand a mental competency test in regards to the president? I think so. Yes, we should be able to have that type of position taken because of the best interests of the country and moving forward. Now, will we do that? No, I don't think that we will do that. So as we move ahead, you know, the all truthfulness and honesty in this, Eutrice, is what is the mental capacity of the American public that they would allow themselves to be hoodwinked and duped by this president? That are they not under
the turning it on his head here?
Derangement? I mean, honestly, it could it be that there is a portion of the American public that is under some sort of mental derangement that they would allow this man to stay in office, that they can't see that there's something wrong with this individual and that he's not fit to lead us? You know, really, we have to ask ourselves this question. Something is seriously wrong with members of the American public that they would vote for this man.
But, you know, there's another way to look at it. Another way to look at it. Imagine if, to such people, Trump is the most logical choice, the most appropriate choice. Imagine what their views are of the representatives who have stepped forward to be named in that spot. So there are all kinds of ways of interpreting the question. Here's the major thing, though. Is it to be mandatory that wherever you end up on the spectrum, whether you've won or you've almost won or you kind of won, whatever, is it to be mandatory that people vying for this particular office must undergo a battery of testing? And who's to say that even after being tested, it turns out that they were subjected to bipartisan testing? I mean, not bipartisan, partisan testing. And
testing
it wasn't fair.
Testing of one's mental capacity to hold the most important job in the nation is something that all people should be subjected to. And it has nothing to do with being bipartisan or anything. It just has to be something that is for the country, is so that we know that we have somebody in office who is competent to do the job. I mean, if you look at it, what's being presented to us at this present moment, one could honestly say that Donald Trump is not mentally competent to continue to do this job. His action shows you a person that is not total rational, that is not dealing with a full deck. How could a person be sane that's a constant liar? I mean, the man every day makes some sort of lie and assertion about matters that there's no need to. He doesn't tell the truth basically about anything as far as I'm concerned. I don't know what to believe, whatever comes out of his mouth. And then it seems to me that it just gets stuck under the rug and it's just forgotten about, and the media talks about it for a couple of days and then it's forgotten. I mean, the most simplest thing to me when I look at it and I analyze it is what's going on with this whole tariff thing with China. If you notice, it's not even being discussed anymore in the media. If you notice, they're not even talking about what he's doing in regards to the soybean farmers and the other farmers in the Midwest. There's not even a discussion on that. And that whole industry has basically been destroyed. But there's no investigation on it. There's no anything. I mean, we're really in a serious bind in this country in regards to how we're going to move forward with these individuals. And lastly, when you talk about ageism, just like they say that you have to be, I think, 38 years old, 35 or 38 years old to run for president, I say that there need to be a cutoff age for people to run for president, and I'm saying it should be 65.
And wow.
I'll go as far as to say, I'll go as far as to say 60 years old. Because these individuals that you have in office now, at their age range, I don't trust them. I don't trust them at all. I don't even think
just because they happen to be in the 70s,
you
don't trust them
to do the job at that age. I do not, you know, I'm not trying to talk bad about old people.
I understand.
But I'm
going to
be honest with you. At a certain age, you're just not as sharp as you was at 60 years old. You know what I mean? You just
guidelines, your theoretical guidelines, Biden would be out. He's 77, turning 78. Trump
would be out. Bernie would be out.
73. Sanders would be out.
He would be out.
Elizabeth Warren would be out.
She would be out. Yeah, they would all be out under my guidelines. And I'm being very honest about you with you.
Wow.
Now you're surprised by it, but I really believe that it should be 35 to maybe 62 or 65. And matter of fact, I don't even think 65. I'll go as far as 35 to 60, and that should be the end of it. Because you just don't have the mental capacity, I feel, to be able to do the job. And I think it's being shown each and every day by this president. And, I mean, I think it'll be shown if Warren gets in the office. I think it'll be shown if Biden gets in the office. That's just how I feel. These people are not doing anything and not moving forward because they don't have young, fresh ideas like people that are younger do. And hey, maybe somebody will kind of react what I'm saying. And you have a good day, my sister, and love you as always.
Thank you so much. Love you too. 888-874-4888. Gosh, that was rough. But there's a point to it. And this is why we should discuss this openly within the country. This is a major issue. We do have so much faith in the system that it is doing the right thing. It has done the right thing. The people who are allowed to vie for president, the people who are allowed to come before us, we don't have the clinical and medical expertise to say, well, after a long screening process, we shaky about this one or shaky about that one. Our only role is to be, and the only approved role is to vote. That's it. And that supposedly kind of veers into the land of, well, they voted for Joe and then they voted for Mary. But we have no idea about what makes Joe Joe and what makes Mary Mary. We get to find out these things at the worst possible moments when the country is trying to deal with a crisis. And then we discover, well, you know, the first crisis is, can the President of the United States guide us through it? The President of the United States is looking for help. Or people who know intimately that the president is in himself or herself in crisis, but won't tell anybody. Is that a really good way to run a railroad? Ron from Connecticut, you're on the air.
Greetings. Hope
Thank
you're well,
you.
Eutrice.
To you too.
I don't intend to stay on for a long time. I didn't even really intend to call today, but when the topic came up, something that's been right at the top of my brain, has bubbled up a while and stayed there, is very apropos to your discussion. I'm not going to go into in depth into this is about Elizabeth Warren. I'm going to talk just very briefly. I'm not going to talk about what a phony I think she is, and I consider myself a progressive. She didn't become a Democrat till she was 47 years of age, and I believe she's a total straight up.
You are talking about her
she's
in a roundabout way. I want
but
you to address
let's
the
get
question
back to the health
that we're raising here, and that is age to be considered a major factor in the choice of a president? And should there be any kind of rule or policy about it?
Yes, there should be an upper age limit. And I'm going to give you an example of why. I'm not a doctor and I'm not a scientist, but I've compared old footage of Elizabeth Warren to current footage of Elizabeth Warren. And at first I joked to myself, I said, she moves too sharply. Her head movements and her hand movements, they're exaggerated and they're too sharp. They're overdone. And I joked to myself, well, that's because she's a lizard. But that's not the reason. What came to me very shortly after that little joke was that I believe she's afraid. If she moves to her head or hands too slowly, there's going to be an involuntary jerk. That's
but you are not a diagnostician. You're not
a
professional in the field. So let's move away from the tendency that we all have to come to conclusions without having some kind of basis for it. Let's talk about the issue itself and the points that I raise with respect to having concern on this matter is that people are beginning to be very hesitant about voting because of this very thing. They can't tell, essentially, they can't tell why Trump behaves the way he does, although he's been behaving like this for a long time. Nobody decided to make it an issue because he was the employer, not the employee. But when you're running a country, it is no longer a matter that you are the boss and you could never be wrong. And, well, you're president, so you deserve to be president. End of story. What should the policy be? Should we be concerned about it enough to create policies about it? And would it make sense to a political party to go along with such an argument?
Yes, of course. Now, you started the show by saying you wanted to know how I feel. And so, just as I believe that Trump is masking dementia, he's trying to mask his dementia, I believe that Elizabeth Warren is trying to mask Parkinson's or some other neurological disorder.
Yeah, but then
you'd
be completely outside what
it's
was
just
said in the beginning as some parameters as to how we conduct this conversation. It's clear you don't like Elizabeth Warren. I get that.
Oh, I love her.
But
I love her.
We cannot be diagnosticians. We are asking not what signals are we getting from this candidate or that candidate that age is affecting their ability to function. We can't go there. We're not qualified for that.
Eutrice, of course, it's an issue.
We are qualified to ask how, as citizens, we choose a leader, are we also entitled to set rules for choosing the leader?
Yes. Older folks should be advisors. Old folks should be advisors, not active commanders in chief. They should be advisors. They should be the intelligence of the presidential office. You know, what's a cop? What's a good cop without wisdom? And the head cop is what we're talking about.
Well,
but yes,
you're not convincing me that you have a good argument. And I was hoping to hear a good argument from you. I didn't get it today, but I'm hopeful. On another day, you'll hit it right on, you'll hit the nail right on the head. But thanks so much for calling in and contributing. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, I decided to weigh in on this. I don't believe there should be any age range that limits who can be president. I think that you're going to get people who are mentally sharp in all age groups and some who are deficient in all age groups. Even young people, I believe, can have some dementia or some neurological condition that would impair their judgment. Now, I think it's important for everybody to look at this and understand what's going on. For example, I'm going to digress a moment. It was mentioned this term, free world. I don't know what that means, free world. It doesn't make any sense to me. The function of the President of the United States is to maintain the status quo, as I see it, and make sure that those people who own the country, the rich and powerful, the oligarchs who run it, stay in power, and you keep things the same. His job, whether you believe it or not, and whatever is, even if you look at the Constitution, is not to make sure that everything is run in the interests of the people who live here. Because all of the presidents, no matter who they are not functioning in a way to benefit all the people who live here. So I think that's important to take into mind. And everyone ought to think about that. And when you talk about the best president, it's, to me, no different than deciding at the prison with all the prisoners voting about who's going to be the best warden, you see. So that's the way I look at it. To think that whoever is president is going to function in the best interest of everybody in his country is ridiculous, especially when you have a situation right now where most of the people, or at least half the people in the country, are poor or near poor. So this whole idea of giving some kind of neurological test or intelligent test based mainly on people who are older in the 70s, like some of the candidates, does not make any sense to me. So I would not be in favor whatsoever of limited to people of a certain age.
All right. So how do you really feel?
How does what?
So how do you really feel about the topic?
I think it's a digression from really dealing with the issues. I mean, the ruling class has to have things talked about. They have to occupy the people's mind with something when the truth is they want to decide who is president and who is going to function best in their interests. And that's the real part of the game that people don't understand. And all this
isn't there. Isn't there the concern by people? They feel better. They feel safer. They feel more confident about not themselves or the president, but about the country being in the hands of somebody who has been determined by a whole bunch of experts that, yeah, he's not crazy. No, he doesn't need a, pacifier. It's okay. He's past that age. Yes. He seems reasonable. He has a sense of humor. And we don't think he's crazy yet. So at least give him another 2 years, I think, because he seems to be doing okay. Don't you think people feel better knowing?
People may feel more comfortable when you have, a conventional person in that position. Trump is a little different, but he is still serving the class that is at the top. Even though I know they would have preferred Ms. Clinton, they got him, but he's still doing the things that the ruling class wants, serving their interests and low taxes, subsidies, and all the things that they want to enrich themselves at the expense of all the rest of the people who live here. But he's kind of unconventional. So by bringing up this issue, they get people all upset about it, and that will perhaps lead to them getting the type of president that makes those at the top more comfortable and getting the attention where away from Mr. Trump's histrionics, you see. So that's the whole thing. But nothing changes with this. It's still a country that is designed to serve those at the very top who, well, we might say, own the place.
All right. Thank you so much, David, for your input today.
Thank you.
What have you to say?
Yeah, how you doing, Eutrice?
Okay, how's by you?
Like I tell you all the time, hanging by my phone. You brought this topic before a few of your shows back as far as a mental type of assessment for someone to run for office, specifically the President of the United States. I just don't think it's possible because a mental state or produced or diagnosing someone as mentally defective is not only clinical, but it's also societal. Years ago, there were behaviors that were considered insane that are now quite normal. I mean, even with in respect to homosexuality, which for many years in the DSMO was considered to be a mental defect, now it's not. So it's difficult to classify someone as quote-unquote insane unless you have some type of chemical or clinical basis to put it on, whether exposure to some type of toxic material, whether some degradation of the brain cells or the cognitive functions of the brain as far as the separation of the medulla or cerebral cortex, things of that nature, where you can actually point to something quantifiable and say, look, this person has this aberrant malformation in their brain, a tumor, a blastoma, and it's causing them to manifest a certain type of behavior or lack of self-control because it's affecting this cognitive center of the brain. And I don't think anybody would submit to that, and I don't think the American people would submit to that because it's too much. It would become too much of a subjective thing to run for office. That being said, I'm a layman. You know, I'm an amateur, the researcher of history and politics, things of that nature. Do I believe that this president has a mental defect? Yes, I do. Do I believe that they should disqualify him from office? Yes, I do believe it should, along with Ronald Reagan also. I believe he developed a mental defect with Alzheimer's. But as far as that being a qualifying test or a yardstick to measure a prospective candidate by, I think it's a difficult task. I think you really have to weigh it and put it up against a very harsh litmus test and have several experts come to a conclusion. And I don't think that America is ready, is politically serious enough to do that. They can't even do it with the
police. Let me ask you, you accept it without knowing or approving or having the right to approve, but you accept it. You wouldn't find that in, let's say, the Air Force, they'll hand over a multi-million dollar plane to somebody who is not balanced. They go through very heavy screening. There are jobs, even in civilian life, where people considered for those positions because of the impact and the responsibility and the fact that the responsibilities might be too much for ordinary people like you and me to handle, so they look for people of a particular profile. It may sound unfair, but in the estimation of people who are in the business of measuring that, they would deem this group of people better able to cope with stress or better able to cope with working nights for the rest of their lives. You know, it happens every day. People are screened for and against the attributes that are either desired or not desired, that are either effective or not effective, or make them effective or would make them ineffective in their jobs. Why should the presidency be any different?
Well, being a person that has been screened, when I was in the military, I had a sensitive what they call MOS, military occupational skill. It dealt with different type of weapon systems, and there were situations where you would be in my MOS, where you would be put under certain type of stresses, and we had stress tests, we had things of that nature. But like I said, those were quantifiable. But there was a diagnostic model that was put up. And you were tested, your blood pressure was measured, you underwent CAT scans, there was a quote unquote morality test where you asked specific questions and your responses were judged by your answers and how would you react if circumstance A, circumstance B. I understand that. And yeah, I agree with you that the presidency is a very important job, even though we're not in a true democracy, as I've stated before. And what I'm saying that it would be difficult to have a test of that nature for this type of job because of the large pool of people that are going to present themselves because of the Americans are too politically naive to really navigate that type of litmus test. I believe we got a lot more political growing up to do.
But even so, we have had enough time to come to some reasonable conclusion about this president and his mindset and whether he's a safe bet in the Oval Office to make good judgments, to make sound judgments, even to ask other people what you think before getting involved in the military situation that could explode and become a full-fledged war, or taking the attitude, I am the only one whose judgment finally matters here. I'm only asking you as a courtesy, but I really don't want to hear your opinion. And I say, we turn left. So I'm not hearing and listening to people who say we turn right.
Well,
that is a sure indication for, you know, people to go, wow, this is a whole different story happening here, and we have to find a way to deal with it, because without our knowledge or even participation, let alone our approval, we have a renegade president. And being a renegade is not a good quality to have in the Oval Office.
Yeah. Well, what are you saying? You're saying that, you know, the little boy with the king had no clothes? I mean, is that what we're dealing with? And the only little boy, hey, the king is naked, you know. I mean,
there has to be some kind of understanding. There has to be some kind of understanding as to what we allow. Oh my goodness, we ran out of time. Thank you so much, everyone, for calling in and participating as enthusiastically as you have. We'll meet up again tomorrow. Bye-bye.